This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
This BFM Budget 2022 special is brought to you by Ma Sing.
7:48 in the morning, you are listening to The Morning Run with Shazana, Shaoning and Philip. Today is Budget Day. Finance Minister Tengku Datuk Sri Zafrul Aziz will table the government's fiscal strategy for the coming year in Parliament later this afternoon. And according to the Prime Minister, Datuk Sri Ismail Sabri, the budget will have wow factors to benefit all quarters in line with Keluarga Malaysia. Ooh,
I feel my spine tingling, Shaz. We know from the pre-budget statement released by the government back in August that the budget will focus on three key themes, right? To aid the recovery from the pandemic, protecting lives and driving the recovery of livelihoods, rebuilding economic resilience and catalyzing socio-economic reforms. However, the government has already launched 8 economic stimulus packages since March 2020, valued at 530 billion ringgit. Given the government's limited fiscal headroom, notwithstanding the rise in the debt ceiling to 65, the big question is how much wow can the government actually afford?
So for some thoughts on this, we speak to Firdaus Rosli, Head of Economic Research at the Malaysian Rating Corporation, also known as MARC. Good morning, Firdaus. Thanks for speaking with us today. Now, the Prime Minister has hinted at a budget with wow factors. What are your expectations for what this wow could be?
Hi, good morning. Thank you. Wow, indeed. I think it has a lot to do with the leave no one behind principle, where the government will likely offer extensive fiscal support to both the rakyat, businesses, as Malaysia returns to the pre-pandemic levels next year. With that in mind, we think that universal cash transfers, such as the BPR, BKC, etc., will continue and, in fact, perhaps even be expanded. Just for the record, the government is allocating $17.1 billion this year for cash transfers alone, covering about a third of the Malaysian population, up from 2.2 billion ringgit in 2012, I think, 9 years earlier. So we'd in line with the debt ceiling, as what Philip said just now, as well as the COVID-19 fund has been increased from 65 to 110 billion, it is also likely that many, if not all, incentives under the Prihatin.
Firdaus, I'm so sorry to interrupt, but you were mentioning about 17.1 billion ringgit in cash handouts. That's a pretty staggering number.
Yeah, it is. In fact, it has been growing at about 25% year-on-year basis. So it is probably be expanded this year as well. So as I mentioned, we have a higher debt ceiling, higher COVID-19 fund as well. So perhaps most incentive under the Prihatin, Penjana, etc. will continue as well. So we're also expecting that the government will announce tax rebates to spur the sluggish private consumption amid gradual reopening, perhaps some one-off rebates along the way.
So the question here is, how is the government going to address these revenue constraints and address the fiscal deficit then?
So I think in 2022, the government will bank on the ongoing economic reopening and a higher debt ceiling and COVID-19 fund, where the prospects of higher nominal GDP, higher direct taxes, and perhaps even higher Petronas dividends as well, to provide some fiscal space. So in the immediate term, that's probably a sensible thing to do, is to push for higher GDP growth. So it is pretty telling, in my view, that the Klang Valley moved from phase 2 to phase 4 of the NRP, National Recovery Plan, in just a month. So under the assumption that the Malaysian economy would grow at 5.5% next year, so that would be adequate to put many, if not all, the fiscal constraint into the right boxes. So having said that, we are also hopeful that the government will also push for continuous fiscal reforms despite the constraints that we have today. So with that in mind, you know, some of us has been talking about the GST would make a return in this budget, but we don't think so. But there will probably be sprinkles of signals as to where that is heading in this coming budget.
Yeah, Firdaus, you mentioned this fiscal reform. Can you elaborate on this, what your expectations are, or perhaps maybe even what you hope will eventually be announced, if not this year, in the coming years?
See, the thing is, as far as fiscal reform is concerned, right, everyone has been talking about GST. I mean, it's the right thing to do because we have a very narrow tax base. So, you know, the concentration risk to revenue is there. And with the fact that Petronas has been offering a lot of dividends since 2018, because of the gap in revenue. So you know, it makes a lot of sense to focus on the you know, addressing the narrow tax base in itself. But then we must not forget that there are a number of supply side liberalisation that worked in the past. To put this into context, between 1980s, the commodity crisis as well as the Asian financial crisis, government revenues in fact increased by 11.6% on annual basis during that period, during that decade. So when we are confronted with the economic crisis, right, the right thing to do is to address the supply side, because there will be more FDI, more corporate tax income, etc. But the problem is that back then we had Japan as an anchor investment source. So we don't have that anchor today. And that is the problem. So but not to say that we don't have that anchor anymore, because it's sort of mutated into something else now in the form of free trade agreements. So, you know, if the government were to pursue this route, they can ratify the RCEP, the Regional Comprehensive and Economic Partnership, or the CPTPP, or in fact even pursue bilateral ones with the US, EU, and in fact even the UK. But the thing is, it's slow. It takes time. Mm-hmm. So, you know, as politicians would probably want the here and now kind of impact, so that would probably be a bit delayed. So with that in mind, I think we should not overly focus on the fact that, you know, GST is the only solution to our tax, the narrow tax base.
Okay, so you're saying that we need to look at other options as well. I want to get your thoughts on inflation, because that's been a major theme being discussed around the world by other central banks. What are you concerned about inflationary pressures here and how this might affect the Malaysian economic recovery?
See, the thing is, Shazana, I wrote an article on this some weeks ago, where I argue that inflation is in fact a concern, but it turns out not to be a significant concern, because number one, we have a system to curb the rising prices, such as the Price Control Act, the Anti-Profiteering Act, etc. That's the first point. Second point is GE15 is near, so rising prices is most likely a no-no from the government's perspective. So the government will inevitably intervene via more cash subsidies, more subsidies, more cash handouts, or even perhaps the combination of both. The third point is that pump prices remain at 2.05 ringgit even until today, and it will remain so for some time. Mm. So it is a concern, but I won't scratch my head too much over it because of the things that I mentioned.
So Firdaus, who are the winners and losers from this budget likely?
I would probably say that the winners would probably be the export sector, because it is likely that the government, or rather the Bank Negara, would leave the ringgit as it is. So it will probably trend between 4.13 to 4.15 in the foreseeable future. I mean, maybe in the coming weeks. So export sector is probably the right thing to address in the coming budget, in order to boost net exports.
Firdaus, I have one question though, and I think you probably read a lot of the headlines coming out from all the papers and portals this morning with regard to the AG report. So I'm wondering if we actually plug all the leakages and prevent any wastages, how much benefit would the government actually really derive from all this? Would it really help our fiscal situation?
See, Xiaoning, I think this is a political question. Because we have already a system in place to address this. So, just take a look at yesterday's announcement by the Auditor General. The non-compliance to existing procedures and losses cost the government 620 million, involving ministries, key ministries, in fact, like the MKN, National Budget Office, Education Ministry. And whether or not, I mean, I can only hope that there will be the necessary follow-through to the concerns raised by the AG. I mean, we can plug this, yeah, sure. But then, you know, the follow-through is a bit left wanting, I suppose.
All right, Firdaus. Thanks very much for speaking to us this morning. That was Firdaus Rosli, Head of Economic Research at Mark, giving us his take on what to expect from Budget 2022. Xiaoning, what are your thoughts on his comments?
well, we've already spent quite a bit, so it may not be really as wow as what our Prime Minister says. We are facing this fiscal headroom, but I think the reality is that this is likely, and this is my guess, this is likely to be the last budget before elections, GE15. So a lot of populist measures are probably going to be announced later this afternoon.
Yeah, I think so too. I mean, the opportunity to increase revenue is quite limited. And I think his prescription, which is like expanding the free trade agreements, great and I think much needed, but I think the results will take longer than that.
Stay tuned to BFM 89.9.
This BFM Budget 2022 special was brought to you by Ma Sing. Reinvent spaces. Enhance life.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.